May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 669. Poor sinners, sunk in sin's tremendous cell, tormented with the fiery darts of hell, on Jesus call, though wretched be your case, he came the lost to seek and save by grace. Hymn 669.
Let's read together for our instruction from the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my beloved, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not, for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offence, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. The Lord instruct us from his own holy word and help us in prayer. O they who art in the heavens, they thrice holy, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we would desire to venture to come before thee, because thou hast revealed in thy word thy great mercy and compassions unto poor unworthy sinners. And thou didst raise a poor worm, Jacob, up from the dust. And thou didst bring forth one out from the iniquity and idolatry of that place, and it's caused Abraham to wander about and brought him to that land of promise and a city to dwell in. Lord, it is thy mercy if thou dost bring us therefore even to thine house and to know that in coming we may receive those blessings that are found in the word, and that which thou hast ordained to bless thy people therewith. O Lord, we know we cannot of ourselves command the blessing, but thou hast commanded it. Even with regard to all thy purposes, down to the ages of time. And Lord, we believe that if there is one here gathered on such an occasion in this place, that there should be the bringing into liberty, the setting of their souls free, deliverance from under the power of sin, and to be brought from out of Satan's kingdom into the kingdom of light. Oh, what a blessing then to see thy purposes not only proposed but also worked out, fulfilled. Lord, we know not what thou mayest purpose for us as we are here gathered, It is our purpose, we trust. Oh, that we may have it so, to come and worship Thee, the true, the living God, with heart as well as with voice. Do save us, Lord, from the spirit of hypocrisy. Save us, O Lord, from the spirit of formalism. Save us, O Lord, from presumption. But grant us, Lord, Thy gracious Spirit, that we may know that humbling in our own hearts, to come to Thy footstool prostrate, confessing our sin, that we may know the blessedness of repentance, godly sorrow. Lord, we do pray that we may know the grace of faith to lay hold upon the life and upon the word of life, to believe it and to receive it and to bless Thee for it and to obtain a comfort from it and to know the peace that it may bring to a troubled conscience. Lord, if Thou dost reveal to us that our Lord and Saviour has fulfilled that law which otherwise must condemn a poor sinner to death, to know that through His merits there is hope, hope of salvation. Oh, that we may therefore be given the grace of the Spirit to fly to the sacred clefts in the rock, to find a hiding place, so that we may know the storms that may rise, to pass over, and to know that in the end we are forever safe. O Lord, we know that we live in a world of wickedness, and we are exposed to many things, to many temptations, to much opposition, to corruptions on every side. Oh, how we need Thy delivering grace and power to spare us, Lord, from being swallowed up. Spare us, Lord, from sinking into that awful perdition which thousands, millions, do, and Lord, there have been those nations that have forgot Thee and been brought to nothing in days gone by. We tremble, Lord, for our own sinful land, of which we are a part. We tremble, Lord, lest Thy solemn, awful judgments which we deserve are suddenly poured out and we swallowed up in that destruction. Nonetheless, Lord, we believe Thou wilt spare Thy little remnant. And oh, could it please Thee to grant us to cry and sigh daily, hourly, because of the abominations that are done in the midst, and those things which we may hear or see accomplished in the world. Lord, we mourn the fact that such have even influenced the church, and there is that which has come in, that which has brought a breaking down of the wars. O God, it please thee to restore the breaches, to again build the walls of Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. And should we say that which cometh down, thy people that still remain here upon this earth, yet born again through the mighty work of the Spirit, but nonetheless subject and less kept to those things, the spirit of this world and the evils of it. Oh, do, Lord, we pray, deliver us, and do grant that we may be conformed to that image of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, to be found as those that are true followers of him, who knew nothing in this world that could satisfy, but only what he received of his Father. May we not be satisfied with anything less than what we may receive from Christ, through Christ, by the Spirit to our souls. Oh, that we may hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we may not be left to seek to obtain some righteousness of our own, by making a patch up, as it were, of our former fallings and sins. But Lord, to look to the fountain, the fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. And oh, may we know the blessedness of being plunged beneath its streams, and lose all our guilty fears. Lord, we do pray that we may find that blessing of redemption through him who came to save that which was lost. Lord, we do pray that we may therefore wait upon thee, believing that the vision is for an appointed time, though it tarry. Oh, that thou mayest come, Lord, in thine own gracious time and way. And may we be ready when thou dost so come, and not as those who may solemnly say that all things continue as they were, therefore let us eat and drink and be merry. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt sober our minds and ever cause us to know that eternity may be realized in a moment. What a solemn moment that will be, if it should be that there shouldest come when we are not found watching. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant that true oil in our lamp, the oil of thy sovereign grace, so that we may find it never runs out. We do pray that thou wilt be gracious unto thy people that gather here. There are young and there are old, and those that bear the burdens and heat of the day, the responsibilities in life. Lord, we do commend them to thee. We do desire that thou wilt put thy fear into the young, even those that are but of a very young age, that there may be found that good thing in their hearts toward the Lord God, that they may know the blessedness of that unctuous light to all that's right, and abhor to that which is wrong, that they may be brought up by their parents in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and not to depart from it. We would pray that wisdom may be given to parents in all the things regarding their family. And O Lord, help them to walk and act in thy fear. We do, Lord, desire thy mercies upon those that bring in the necessary income to support them and their families in life. Lord, may they prove, though, that they are not given to an avaricious spirit, that they are not overcome by the spirit of the business world, which we know is full of covetousness. Lord, and nonetheless to be prudent, but also to be content. Lord, we do pray that they may be given wisdom and to be given that grace to deal with their associates in that way and manner which may honour thee and the cause of Christ, that they may not bring dishonour upon thy name. Lord, we do pray that thou would also look upon those that are in increasing age, feeling the grasshopper to be a burden, experiencing infirmities, and perhaps at times much pain, even in much affliction. May they, Lord, be given that spirit of sweet submission. May they acquiesce to these things, knowing that it is a light affliction which will give a place to those blessings prepared for suffering saints, which makes amends for all. We do, Lord, pray that thou wilt be mindful of those that are in bereavement, and we pray that thou wilt support and sustain such in their loss. May it be, Lord, in some instances, that the death of one is the spiritual life and beginning in another. May it be, Lord, that those that have a good hope of their loved ones and also desire to be followers on may prove the lost to be sweetly sanctified to their own soul's benefit and enjoyment, so that they, with a sweet and a blessed longing themselves, may wish to hasten as they may to come to that same place, where they may believe their loved ones are, to be with Christ, which is far better. Lord, we would desire thy mercies to be upon those that are on beds of affliction, and some in hospital wards, but as we would hope, temporarily or for longer periods, those that may have operations before them, Lord, do allay their fears and comfort their hearts and bring them through if it could please thee. Lord, we would remember those also, thy people in other parts of the earth that suffer for thy name's sake, the reproaches of men, and they may know many privations, deprived of other things that they may have but taken from them. But Lord, may they continue to hold fast that which is good and to continue in the faith. We do, Lord, desire that thou wilt be mindful of thy servants in all their labours. Do help them, Lord, even this day. We would bear before thee one's own people and thy servant ministering to them there, as well as the varying congregations. We would remember, Lord, those that have not one to minister. May the reading of a portion or a sermon be blessed, that, Lord, thou art not bound. And Lord, we would desire that there was, therefore, cause it to be a day to be remembered in Zion, a day of blessing. Now, Lord, we would not multiply words before thee. We would wait upon thee. Be thou our helper. And thou our guide. We plead these things together with the pardon of all that we have asked amiss, for the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, for his sake. Amen.
Hymn 764. How sad our state by nature is, our sin how deep it stains, and Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. Hymn 764.
Thank you.
the Lord may be pleased to help me. I would direct your attention to the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and read in the 13th verse. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with every temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, in the 13th verse. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. These Corinthians were subjects of temptation. And it is so with the people of God in particular. But temptation is indeed something that is common to man. There is not one that has lived upon this earth that has not been subject to temptation. Not only just in the fact of being tempted, but also being the subjects of falling into that temptation. Only one exception. He who was God's sent one, who assumed a flesh and dwelt among us, that he may accomplish that work of salvation, Jesus Christ. He knew no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And what a consolation it is to poor tempted souls who may have a little glimpse of him who was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, but tempted on our account to strengthen us in the course that the Lord would have us to go, that we may pass through this wilderness as the world will be to us, when, under and through his constraining grace, we are brought to be separated from the things of this world, to seek unto a heavenly place, to seek for that which is prepared for those chosen before time began, chosen in Christ, to be called in the course of time out of nature's darkness, to be brought into the light of truth, to know the distinctiveness of those things which are real as opposed to the things which are false, the things that may be dangled before our eyes, to tempt us unto those vanities, the empty things that will only perish with the using, and bring us then to an untimely end. Oh, what a mercy if the Lord does preserve and keep us, and doth deliver us out of temptation. The prayer that our Lord taught his disciples will be a prayer which will be burnt in, as it were, to the soul. And those words particularly, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. There hath no temptation taken you but such that is common to man. We know that sin entered into the world, and it was by temptation. The serpent, or rather Satan, which took the form of a serpent, that wily creature, which may be able to show itself in such a manner that was pleasing to our first parent Eve, and to subtly put to her the very things that were the desire of her heart. You may say, what things? Was it not in our first parents to desire that they might live even as one who had created them, to be as their God? And using this, the serpent, Satan, he deceived her, Eve, speaking of being as gods, to know both good and evil. 'Tis true they had known the goodness of God, and the work that was very good in the eyes of their Creator, and therefore should be in their eyes. But God being God, the all-knowing God, knew the great distinction between good and evil. Not that God would perform any evil. Oh, let us not be tempted to think that God does create evil. No, because there is good, so it may be found in that, because by very nature there are the opposites. There is goodness, therefore there is evil. There is that which may be young, and therefore as it grows it becomes old. There is that which is to be found in the west, and so there is that which may be in the east. And so we may go on. There was the light, there was the darkness. These things are therefore evident. But who that lives in the light may inquire into darkness? But he that may live in darkness may crave the light, if it is at all revealed to them. But I must return to the consideration, Satan's subtlety in seeking to set before Eve the desire to be as gods. That was not what would have been with regard to desiring to be true followers of God, to be obedient to God, but to be as gods. How subtle Satan is in turning something around so that it sounds well, but we're deceived. And Eve was deceived. And Eve, therefore, obeyed the serpent rather than the command of God. She took of the fruit. What a temptation. She gave to her husband. She had sinned against God. And the solemn declaration, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die, was realized. And so we find that the words of James are only too true when he says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, a covetousness, desiring that which is to promote self, to be satisfying to self, no longer to God. When drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The awful certainty is that sin must be swallowed up by death. By that we mean that he that sins must die. But we find that the Lord, in his infinite mercy, when coming to our first parents, would speak to them concerning their fall, their sin. That when he spoke to the serpent, he spoke in a way of promise. First, that the serpent would go upon its belly and there eat of the dust. He spoke concerning the doom of the serpent, and it was bound up in a certainty. May we ever remember that certainty. Whatever Satan may seek to do, he may seek to overthrow the kingdom of God, overthrow the church, overthrow the work of grace in your own soul, do all that he can, but the promise is one to bring utter ruin to Satan and his kingdom. It must fall. But what else was there mentioned in the promise? How can the kingdom of Satan fall? By the seed of the woman. The one that should, in the fullness of time, be conceived in the virgin womb, Mary. She who knew that miraculous work of the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost to bring forth that holy thing, that it should be Emmanuel, God with us. And that through him we may be more than conquerors. Who hath loved us with an everlasting love, not because of any merit in ourselves, but out of his love, his everlasting love that knows no change, no change. Remember that, dear friend. But he that has loved us before the sinner fell, he never can revoke that love, but loves us still. And he saw me ruined in the fall, yet loved me, notwithstanding all. Oh, what a mercy that is. Well, it is through, therefore, this promise that we may have a little glimpse of the means whereby God will bring about deliverance from under the temptation to which we are subject have been subject to and are subject to and will be subject to all the days of our life. But oh, to find that in his mercy there is that way of the deliverance that he hath made. First of all, we find that God gives a law. He gives a law unto Moses, that the children of Israel may know the path of holiness. Yet, they did not walk in that holiness. They could not keep that law. Though the Lord may say, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," yet, in their own sinful flesh, they were subject to every temptation and also tempted God, as we read in the first part of this chapter, and how they provoked him, how they turned to idolatry, fell into adultery, did all kinds of wickedness. Oh, and we, are we any better? Well, we consider our own carnal self, how sad our state is. Only his saving work can make any difference. But the Lord of itself, instead of being an antidote, only spoke terrors. It could only condemn. It could only bring a poor sinner to know its awful doom. To know that where there was failing, then there must be punishment. And how evident it was to be seen in varying ways, that they were under the power of that sin, original sin, as well as their own active sin. And what a solemn thing when that disease of leprosy came upon them. They had to go without outside the camp and cry out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." No acceptance in that. No, they were condemned as unclean under the law until it was seen that either the leprosy was not developed or that there was a healing. Then, and only then, may they offer the offering of cleansing. But those that came to our Lord in this, the day when he was here upon earth, the sweet and blessed account, at least as it concerns the one who was a Samaritan. Consider by the Jews or the Pharisees particular as a sinner of sinners. And he with nine others cried unto the Lord, and he sent them to the priest, and as they went, they were healed. Ah, the power of that healing. That is what we require, the power of that healing, so that we may then return as he did to his high priest, to his shepherd, to the bishop of his soul, to come there before this one who had healed him. He knew his healer. He knew the one that had the power of healing. No high priest of earth could give such a healing, but here was one whom he knew to be the Son of God, and the Son of Man. And therefore he returned. When we may have tried all avenues to deliver ourselves out of the power of temptation and of sin, to find that here is the one who heals us. Heals us of our backslidings, loves us freely, would have us to return with confession, to say, we have sinned and done this evil in thy sight, to plead for mercy. Well, there is no temptation that hath overtaken you wherein God will not be faithful to those that he brings to know that there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness with him that he may be feared. But now, what the law could not do, we find that our Lord and Saviour is able to do. And how that makes the word to be so tremendous, that he is able to do far more, exceeding abundant, above what you, what I can ask or even think. Poor sinner, poor hell-deserving sinner, need you cast away a little, your little hope, cast away your confidence, when you know that he is able to supply you above what you can even ask or think. If salvation depended upon our asking, would we ask it? If it depended upon our coming, would we come? If it depended upon exercise, I mean by that our bowing down at his feet, though he would have us to bow down there, but if it depended upon that, then would we not be of all men most miserable? But the drawing power of his grace. And that is what we may find as the antidote to all that know the power of temptation and to know the deliverance from it. God is faithful. And what a word this is in the midst of this verse. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And if that was the only statement, you may then feel that you are overcome with the multitude of many others, and therefore may be destroyed at the moment of that judgment when God shall judge the earth. But God is faithful. He's faithful to his promise. He cannot alter that. He will not alter that. He cannot change his mind. It is his promise. He's faithful to his purpose. The purposes that he has from eternity itself. And the purpose that is here outlined in our text. The purpose of God is that he will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able. Therefore, though the temptation may be fierce, Though you may feel overcome as the one in the deep, the seas may feel overcome, when the waves go over their head, yet may they not, like Jonah, prove that there is salvation. It is of the Lord. To know that as brought to believe it, so Jonah would experience the reality of it. And the fish vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. There we find that God will not suffer you to be tempted above what ye are able, but will with every temptation make a way to escape. So he will not permit you to be tempted above what ye are able, in the first place. In the second place, he will not. He will make a way to escape. And then, thirdly, we have here the purpose of God in giving us the strength, the grace, the ability to bear it. So we shall, as helped, bring these points before you. But before we do, I want to just speak a little more about temptation. There may be one here that is greatly tempted, and tempted to fear that they're in such a temptation that they can never have any hope of salvation. That is Satan's endeavour, to rob us of any hope or consolation of ever coming to that salvation. But the devil is a lie. He's a father of lies. And he therefore will never tell the truth, only as he may distort it to his own ends. When he came to our Lord and Saviour, he quoted the scripture, "'Tis true, but it was so that he may present it in such a manner that would bring about the dishonouring of his own God's, Christ's own glorious person and purpose and work. But we will not go into that or elaborate upon that now. But we are persuaded of this, dear friends, that though Satan may try to snatch us from the consolations that there are to be had, yet he can never take away what God has purposed. He can never take away what God has done. He can never take away what God has ordained for you. And therefore, though he may tempt you with regard to it, yet there will be deliverance. There must be deliverance. Now, first of all, with regard to temptation, the nature of temptation. Temptation is deceitful because it is to try and draw you into something by most devious means. And Satan will tempt us in varying ways in his deceitful manner. We may consider this. He would have you to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. To think yourself as somebody. To boost your pride.
to make you look upon others disparagingly, to think that you are greater than they, that all your all that you may do is better than another. And sometimes those that may act as being the most humble may in their own hearts be the most proud. To examine ourselves in these things. But it is the very nature that we find there within our own selves. Deceit and the temptation is deceitful to make us think that we are something that we're not. But then we may find that temptation will be used in this manner, that it will try to set before us something which will be better for us than what we already have. Greed and avarice, a covetousness, is something which Satan so often uses. Oh, what a dreadful thing that is, to be overcome by this evil, temptation, and for us to therefore lust after those things. What have you got? What have I got? If we have, if we are as we were born, we have nothing. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain that we shall carry nothing out of it. We have nothing. What we have is only loaned. Oh, to remember that. But dear friends, if in the course of your life, if the Lord has graciously given you a little hope, and I will come down as low as it is possible to, a little hope, a little that the righteous man hath, a desire found in your soul, a living desire. You know, if the Lord has given you that, then you have all things. What else do we want? What else do we need? Therefore, let those things which Satan may dangle before your eyes, so to speak, saying, well, you must have this, you can't do without that. But what does the Lord require? The Lord requires us this. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He requires us this, that we might wait only upon God, that our expectation may be of him. Ah, then, to wait upon him? Well, you will soon find that Satan will try and trouble you by his tempting power to make you think that there is no profit in these things, no hope for you. Therefore, you might as well give all up. And that is something else. How the devil will try to tempt us to diminish the very things which we do possess. Little faith, cast it not away. Oh, ye of little faith, it may be small. And Satan will tempt you to believe that it's not there at all. He will diminish the very aspect of that work of God. And this sometimes brings the Lord's people into great straits. When they are under this temptation, they may fear that they have nothing. But what the Lord has done is done forever. Remember that. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Therefore, as the exhortation is, the vision may tarry. It may tarry, but wait for it. For it will not tarry, not ultimately. It will come. There will be the blessing. But has the devil tempted you to believe that it can never come? Worse, we are on praying ground, then that cannot be said. For who can tell? Who can tell but that the Lord will be gracious? And there are many accounts of the Lord's people that have been brought to that, wherein they speak of being brought to that. Who can tell? Nothing too hard for the Lord. Yet the devil will try to rob you of it. He will try to dampen any hope that you have. And therefore, temptation is deceitful. He will try to bring every doubt, to raise every fear. If so be, you may then cast those good things away. Again, we find that temptation is rebellious. Oh, the rebellion that you may sometimes find in your own soul. And find that in rebellion, you are ready to oppose God, to ask the question why, to question God's work and ways. And when there are those things that you come into that seem adverse, when there are afflictions and troubles and trials, then you may be sure that Satan will say, well, now, see what God is to you. He's your enemy. They're not your friend. Therefore, you may rise up in enmity even against him. Oh, the wretchedness of our own carnal heart. And so the devil will use these things to stir up the innate wickedness of your own carnal self. But God is greater than our heart. Therefore, with the obsessive nature of this temptation to drive us to those things which we find we are powerless to resist in ourselves. But let God arise. Let him scatter those enemies. Let him remove the tempter himself, or those that may also seek to tempt us, to damn us, to question, to sow seeds of unbelief. And we often find that we have an old heart that will sow plenty of seeds of unbelief, and we're tempted to believe it. But oh, to believe him, oh, alone is true. Well, the power of temptation Who can deny it? But we must pass on. We find that the devil will often make or have a heyday, so to speak, when we come into certain situations. And you know, those situations that we come into make us so vulnerable to his temptations. You may be put on a bed of affliction, and Satan will come and say, "Now, you're on this bed of affliction. You are soon to perish. Your days are now numbered." True, our days are numbered. You'll be cut off in the prime of life, perhaps. And you will therefore die and not live. Satan will make use of those things. You may say, "But was not that the word of the Lord to Hezekiah? The Lord said he should die and not live." Yes, dear friends, the Lord may well indeed bring us to consider our end by these means. But what I am trying to say is this, that the devil will also take it and do what he can to cast you down into utter despair. But the Lord, he will not leave his own in despair. He did not leave his Hezekiah. No, when the work of turning had taken place with Hezekiah, when he had poured out his heart before the Lord, when he had confessed all his shortcomings, when he had again desired that the Lord would have mercy, Isaiah was then told to return and to say that the number of the years, 15 years, should be added to his life. And that his house would then be put in order as the Lord enabled Hezekiah to so do. Affliction is often the ground, therefore, when Satan will try and tempt us. And troubles we come into, he may tell you they'll only get worse. And they may get worse. But it's not because that will be the ultimate purpose of it. The purpose of God is that he may bring deliverance, not to cast us into hell, but to save us through his grace. But we need such dealings that will break our hard heart. We need such dealings that will soften our hard heart. We need him to work. That is what we need. And when Satan thinks he has now got the mastery, the Lord uses the very thing, the very situation, the very trial, the very affliction, the very trial to humble our proud heart, to subdue those lusts, to bring us prostrate to his feet, to turn us again to himself. And Satan then finds that instead of having his prey is snatched out of his hand, and the Lord obtains the victory and overcomes the the enemy to the salvation of his own dear people. Well, what a mercy it is then that we have such a one that is able to deliver us, who is willing to deliver us, and who has delivered us and will yet deliver us. Past deliverances, you may perhaps sometimes feel you cannot settle or lean upon those. You can lean upon the God who brought about those deliverances. It's the same God. It's the same one who delivered and does deliver and will yet deliver. And therefore, he will make that way of deliverance for his people. But we need to come to the means, which I must leave for now. May the Lord help us this evening to go into the varying aspects with regard to the way that he brings about that deliverance from under the power of temptation and the power of sin and Satan. But I must leave it for this morning.
Collections last Lord's Day were £710, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Timothy Parrish next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday school. Let us close with hymn 149. There is a friend who sticketh fast, and keeps his love from first to last, and Jesus is his name. An earthly brother drops his hold, is sometimes hot and sometimes cold, but Jesus is the same. Hymn 149.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.